Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, March 26, 2020. Coming up this hour.
The Senate passes a $2 trillion plan to stem the fallout from COVID-19.
Meantime, the human impact of the outbreak continues to mount as deaths in the U.S. pass 1,000.
Now Wall Street prepares for jobless claims data that could be the worst since World War II.
New York City is the nation's hot zone for coronavirus cases. Meanwhile, New Jersey is on track to match New York for COVID-19. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Met star Pete Alonso joins the fight against COVID-19, and the Jets continue to load up on defense.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are slumping as the human impact of the coronavirus continues to mount. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 40 points. Dow futures down 270. NASDAQ futures down 108. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. CAC in Paris down 2%. FTSE 100 down about the same. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 4.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 18/32nds, yield 0.80%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.30%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.9% or 70 cents at $23.78 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $11.90 at $16.22.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0944 against the dollar and the yen 110.04. Nathan.
Karen, the U.S. Senate has approved a $2 trillion plan to stem the economic fallout from COVID-19. That legislation passed unanimously just before midnight. Here with details is Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
There's pretty much something in there for every part of the economy. First, for the big business, $500 billion for these big corporations, including airlines. But you have to ban buybacks, limit executive bonuses. Then we go on to the small businesses. They got $350 billion in loans. They are bleeding cash. There was optimism there, but originally they wanted cash injection, so didn't get exactly everything they wanted. And then, of course, we're seeing direct checks to Americans, but this is for lower and middle incomes. 1,200 direct checks for each adult and $500 for each child.
The bill now heads to the House, where lawmakers are hoping for quick passage. We spoke with Representative Kevin Brady, a Republican from Texas.
Members will want time to review this bill, but still act very quickly. So I'm hopeful sooner rather than later. And I think the key thing here is this package, it is big, it's targeted, and it will make a difference, both on the healthcare side of this challenge and on, especially on the economic side of this challenge. And because it is designed that way, I predict a very strong support in the House.
The House is scheduled to vote on the bill tomorrow. President Trump plans to sign it immediately.
Small business is in dire need of that rescue package, but there's concern the help could get there too late. And here with the details is Bloomberg's John Tucker, who joins us live. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. The $350 billion in loans will be administered by the Small Business Administration, which isn't known for speed. The SBA's disaster loan assistance portal this morning reads the following. The portal's undergoing maintenance and will not be available during this maintenance period. It's receiving up to 30,000 phone calls a day, a number that's expected to surge to 60,000. They're so overwhelmed that they're soliciting contractors with call centers. Well, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has a more positive outlook. He says banks should be able to issue small business loans by the end of next week. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And coming up today, we get the weekly reading on jobless claims. It could be the worst report since the end of World War II. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The consensus forecast in a Bloomberg survey of economists is that filings will quintuple. Businesses across the nation have been slashing jobs amid the coronavirus pandemic, and travel's come to a near halt. But the consensus isn't even close to the highest estimates. S&P Global Ratings and Bank of America see an increase to 3 million. That's more than four times the record of 695,000 set in 1982. Citigroup expects 4 million filers. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. As business shutters and life grinds to a halt, the number of coronavirus cases continues to climb. Deaths in the U.S. have passed 1,000, with infections near 70,000. New York City is responsible for nearly a third of all cases, and that has the White House preparing to send crucial supplies to the area.
I want you to know that I'm doing everything in my power to help the city pull through this challenge. I'm working very hard in New York. It's really, by far, our biggest problem.
Sources tell us FEMA will take charge of allocating medical supplies across the country. Experts warn there is no clear timeline for the peak of the virus or for the ensuing recovery. Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
You've got to understand that you don't make the timeline. The virus makes the timeline. So you've got to respond in what you see happen. And if you keep seeing this acceleration, it doesn't matter what you say, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you've got to go with what the situation on the ground is.
Fauci also warns that once this crisis fades, we could see a second cycle.
What we're starting to see now in the Southern Hemisphere countries is that we're having cases that are appearing as they go into their winter season. And if, in fact, they have a substantial outbreak, it will be inevitable that we need to be prepared that we'll get a cycle around the second time.
Infections are climbing in South America with more than 1,000 cases in Brazil, Chile, and Ecuador. South Africa has 700 confirmed infections.
Meantime, Japan is seeing an increase in cases as well, and that sent stocks in Asia lower overnight. Here with details is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in our Singapore Bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese equities were the hardest hit as consumer discretionary stocks slumped almost 8% as Japan moved a step closer toward declaring a state of emergency. Stocks here in Singapore fell after first quarter GDP contracted the most in a decade. In China, the CSI 300 fell 0.7%, and Korean equities reversed earlier gains in Seoul to close down by 1%. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Again, futures are lower. S&P futures down 36 points, Dow futures down 234, and NASDAQ futures down about 95. The 10-year Treasury up 18/30 seconds, yield 0.80%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.31%. And the 30-year yield at 1.36%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. State officials in New York are bracing for what they warn could be a large peak in coronavirus cases several weeks from now. New York City, the epicenter of the national outbreak, already has nearly 18,000 infections and nearly 200 deaths. Mayor Bill de Blasio says we shouldn't cling to false hope after President Trump suggested the country could be fully reopened by Easter.
I believe April's going to be tougher than March, and I think at this point May could be even tougher than April, and people need to be ready for that.
But de Blasio says there is one piece of good news.
Supplies have come in from the federal government, from the state government, and elsewhere that have certainly improved our situation this week that'll help us get into next week. That is a ray of light for sure. But we know we're going to have giant challenges ahead in terms of producing enough hospital space, enough personnel who are trained to help us in this crisis, and that ongoing challenge with equipment and supplies.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state needs nearly three times the number of hospital beds it currently has and tens of thousands of respirators. In a news conference, Cuomo said patients may have to share ventilators.
We're exploring splitting, where one ventilator could do two patients. Italy has had to do this because they were forced to do it.
Meanwhile, New Jersey's health commissioner said yesterday that the state is on track for the kind of viral surge New York is experiencing. New Jersey has more than 4,400 infections, up from 3,675 on Tuesday. At least 62 people have died from coronavirus in New Jersey. One of Texas's largest county jails is facing a potential coronavirus outbreak. Five Dallas County inmates have now tested positive for COVID-19, with other test results pending. Joe Biden rejected any idea of an April debate with Bernie Sanders, signaling Wednesday that he views the Democratic nominating contest as essentially over. Biden, during a live-streamed news conference, says, "I think we've had enough debate." Sanders, however, responded later that he wanted a face-off because it would help inform Americans as they confront the coronavirus. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Met star and one of the young faces of the game, Pete Alonso, took time Wednesday to thank doctors and first responders to the coronavirus with a heartfelt message that we can all find ways to appreciate.
This is Pete Alonso from the New York Mets. This disease is definitely grown my appreciation for some simple things in life. For example, like I play baseball, and that's taken away from me. It's not just a job for me. It's a joy. I feel like a little kid out there when I play. There's a line that Jerry Seinfeld said. It's like baseball is a vessel for us to cope with our everyday lives. This disease did it, especially for me. It put a lot in perspective and have a new appreciation for baseball, but a new appreciation for life. Thank you to all the people in the medical world working around the clock, dedicating a ton of time, putting yourselves. Hope this video finds a lot of people well. As always, let's go Mets.
Alonzo's not alone. Lakers star LeBron James did the same, supporting UCLA healthcare workers. And internationally, soccer icon Zlatan Ibrahimovic and NBA star Steph Curry, they're expressing direct support, putting their dollars behind medical professionals during this time of need. This comes on the heels of Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving donating to Feeding America earlier in the week as the country and world continues to battle through the pandemic. In NFL news, the Jets loading up on inside linebackers. The latest is former Raven Patrick Onwuasu. He signed a one-year deal. He made 61 tackles last year, had 3 sacks. He spent most of the year weak side linebacker after struggling early to replace C.J. Mosley. The Jets now have 6 inside linebackers on the roster. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Okay, Rob, thank you. And the decision to delay the Tokyo Olympics to next year means taxpayers and sponsors will likely fork over billions of additional dollars just as the global economy slumps. In December, Japan's organizing committee said the event would cost $12 billion, the bulk of which is covered by them and the Tokyo Metropolitan Government. The Nikkei newspaper says the delay will trigger an additional $2.7 billion in costs. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are retreating along with U.S. stock index futures and most Asian shares as investors look past stimulus packages to the mounting human impact of the coronavirus outbreak. Government bonds and the yen are advancing. The stocks Europe 600 is dropping, led by energy companies and miners after 2 days of gains. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 47 points. Dow futures down 332. NASDAQ futures down 131. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. 10-year Treasury up 21 30 seconds. Yield 0.79%. Yield on the 2-year 0.30%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.9% or 71 cents at $23.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $9.30 at $16.25 an ounce. The euro 1.0942 against the dollar. British pound 1.1935. And the yen is at 109.87. The VIX at 66.20. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Senate has unanimously passed the $2 trillion COVID-19 rescue package. The vote last night was 96-0. 4 Republican senators were absent due to self-quarantines. The measure now goes to the House. The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus topped 1,000, according to a Johns Hopkins tally. Worldwide cases have reached more than 472,000. New York State officials are bracing for what they say will be major peaks in the number of people sick with coronavirus. And New Jersey State Health Commissioner says the state is on track for the kind of viral surge in New York. New Jersey has more than 4,400 infections. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more
than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in Kit Jukes now. He's the chief FX strategist at Societe Generale. Good to talk with you this morning, Kit, as we assess the potential impact of this unprecedented stimulus package that was passed by the Senate last night. What do you think it'll be in terms of dollar outflows? Do you think we'll start to see more movement out of the greenback as a safe haven?
I think the package itself is very helpful, and we've seen the same thing around the world. What the Fed has done in terms of trying to reliquify the global financial system with enough dollars that everyone can get hold of them is to take hold. So imagine an engine that seized up. The Fed has thrown incredible amounts of oil at it, and I think that system works. If the global economy could follow, that would be nice too, and that's what the fiscal moves are there for. But as that happens, you know, the Japanese who have need for dollars have been able to get it through the swap line the Fed has with the Bank of Japan, and as the anomalies in the market as a result of that ease away, for example, the yen's up 1% this morning and it's all sorting itself out. So we will get back to some place from which we look at foreign exchange as being, you know, whose economy is getting hit the hardest, who's got different monetary and fiscal policies, and all the kind of regular stuff we did long ago. I can't remember when.
Yeah, it's so hard to remember when things were regular. I mean, that's the question that so many market participants are asking, is when we will start to see normal. I mean, can you game out any kind of expectation given what the movement is with the virus itself and the fact that it's keeps changing?
There's levels of normal, right? Normal economically, only when all the world's major economies are on a downtrend in terms of the death toll. I would have thought, those the human calamities just there in front of us, and we have to get through that. The lockdowns that we have in our economy, where so many people are working from home, we have to get past that. I think you can get the financial system kind of moving before then, where things normalize a little bit more. As money flows around the system, I think that's something they're doing well. I mean, that said, markets are not operating anything like normally in terms of if you phoned up your local broker and a lot of assets and asked for a price and something, you wouldn't want to have too much to do unless it suited him. Volatility's choppy, the market's thin. It's very difficult to book trading tickets when the salesman's in his living room and the trader's somewhere else, and you can imagine the mess. But things like the futures market work better. So all of that, I think, will get sorted first, isn't? And then you today obviously have this the first of the weekly claims numbers that's going to kind of bring the first round of people claiming for unemployment benefit really full and frontal. And then we're going to start seeing how that pans out. And that's just the inevitable, say, economic bust we've all been hit by.
Yeah, when you talk about the new normal, it's very interesting to see that Chairman Powell is going to be making an appearance on a national morning news show later today. What would you expect to hear? What do you want to hear from the chairman after the extraordinary moves that the central bank has made?
To reassure people that the dollar is still worth a dollar, that you can get hold of dollars, that the bank isn't going to run out of cash, that the system will work, that that the system is clearing properly, and that I have the plumbing. If he is the financial plumber, and if he turns around and says, I can make this plumbing problem work, it's not the drains are not the problem. The problem is the virus, and I think you'll reassure that. I'd have to say the Fed has done a brilliant job in the last couple of weeks. The Fed and the ECB have both done so well. But I would expect, on TV to reassure, on TV so that the, regular folks who aren't in financial markets get to feel the way I do about what a good job they've done recently.
And in just the last few seconds we have here, the G20 is holding a conference call later this morning. Is a more coordinated fiscal response something that's still needed?
I would settle for big fiscal response before I got coordinated fiscal response. if I had to choose. But, yeah, it would be nice to have more coordination. Look, over here in Europe, I would love to have the Europeans coordinate with something that, you know, that was joined up across the whole Eurozone. That would make a huge difference, but that's separate from the G20. I think coordination looks good, but, you know, bazookas look bigger, I think.
Kit Jukes, thanks for this. Much appreciated. Kit Jukes is Chief FX Strategist at Societe Generale. And as we continue to assess the impact of the bazooka making its way through Capitol Hill, S&P futures are lower by 41 points. Dow futures down 269. NASDAQ futures a loss of 110 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Only Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The U.S. Senate has approved a $2 trillion plan to stem the economic fallout from COVID-19. The legislation passed unanimously just before midnight and now heads to the House. Here with details on the package is Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
First, for the big business, $500 billion for these big corporations, including airlines. But you have to ban buybacks, limit executive bonuses. Then we go on to the small businesses. They got $350 billion in loans. This is a sector that desperately needs it, but originally they wanted cash injection, so didn't get exactly everything they wanted. And then, of course, we're seeing direct checks to Americans, but this is for lower and middle income. So if you make over $99,000, you're not going to get it.
A small business is in dire need of this stimulus package, but there's concern the help could get there too late. Here with details is Bloomberg's John Tucker, who joins us live. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, the $350 billion in loans will be administered by the Small Business Administration, which isn't known for its speed. The SBA's Disaster Loan Assistance Portal this morning reads the following. The portal is undergoing maintenance and will not be available during this maintenance period. It's receiving up to 30,000 phone calls a day, a number that's expected to surge to 60,000. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Global investors appear to be selling the news. Here with more is Bloomberg's Richard Jones.
From a market's perspective, we're kind of seeing the buy the rumor, sell the fact price action. There's a lot of Asian equity markets trading lower today, as are U.S. and European equities. It does feel like further equity upside is going to be harder to come by now that the fiscal stimulus packages are out there already.
And right now, S&P futures are down 1.7%, while the Europe Stock 600 is down 1.7% as well.
Next, we get the weekly reading on jobless claims. It could be the worst report since the end of World War II. Economists forecast claims will hit 1.6 million, and we get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Restaurants, retailers, manufacturers, you name it. Any way you slice it, it's going to be bad and persist. To complicate it all, computers at state unemployment agencies have been crashing as applications pour in, phones tied up. In Colorado, this past Monday morning, the state labor department logged 186,000 attempts to reach its call center. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you again. S&P futures down 1.9% now, down 46 points. And we straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thanks a lot. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York State officials are bracing for what they warn could be a large peak in coronavirus cases several weeks from now. New York City, the epicenter of the national outbreak, already has nearly 18,000 infections, and local officials warn that the worst is yet to come. In a news conference, Mayor Bill de Blasio said that he's grateful for the several thousand ventilators the city has received from the federal government, but adds the city needs many, many more.
The goal for New York City is 15,000 ventilators. So the numbers that we have from this week gets us about a sixth of the way there, and that is important, but we got a lot more to do.
Doctors and nurses on the front line in New York City are pleading for help from federal and local officials. Dr. Colleen Smith works with the Department of Emergency Medicine at Elmhurst Hospital in Queens. She says the situation inside hospital is becoming more dire by the day.
Unless we get help and supplies and ventilators in another week or two, we won't be able to take care of you.
Dr. Smith says one of the most terrifying parts for nurses is that the fact that they're treating the symptoms rather than the illness itself. Meanwhile, New Jersey's health commissioner says the state is on track for the kind of viral surge New York is experiencing. President Trump has signaled that he wants to reopen many businesses and public spaces by Easter, even as health officials warn it's too soon to abandon social distancing measures at that time. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
You've got to be realistic, and you've got to understand that you don't make the timeline. The virus makes the timeline. So you've got to respond in what you see happen. And if you keep seeing this acceleration, it doesn't matter what you say 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you've got to go with what the situation on the ground is.
Planned Parenthood joined other abortion providers in suing Texas over moving to a ban to abortions during the coronavirus outbreak. One clinic owner says Republican Governor Greg Abbott's weekend order has already resulted in more than 150 canceled appointments. The order in Texas is in effect until at least April 21st. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on QuickTake by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:35 on Wall Street and time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. One of the rising stars of the game of baseball, Mets slugger Pete Alonso, took to social media displaying his gratitude to medical staffers, even identifying them personally by name for their hard work during the coronavirus in an uplifting video that later showed their individual reaction, saying, "This is pretty cool." Lakers star LeBron James did the same for the UCLA Medical Center, while global sports icons Steph Curry and soccer's Zlatan Ibrahimovic added financial support to the front lines as the world continues to battle and cope with this disease. Dropping in on Yankees spring training, Luke Voit shares how the Bombers are staying in touch as they're anxious to get back to work.
We have our Madden League, so we got a big group chat going still, so we're in contact every day, and it's still fun. We're still managing to, you know, keep our spirits up, and hopefully we get this figured out. We're back on the diamond here soon, but all the boys are good. We're, you know, we're staying locked in, and when time comes, we'll be ready to go.
Skipper Aaron Boone later added, if baseball goes into November, they may want to consider neutral venues due to weather concerns to play the World Series. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred vowed Wednesday that, quote, baseball will be back and will be part of the recovery, that nothing's off the table. As the sport laid out a plan to return to work from the virus, he hopes the season can come back sometime in May, but the league will work first with experts to ensure everyone's safety. To the NFL, the Ravens continue to be a farm system feeding the Jets. A day after adding former Baltimore wide receiver and Tampa Bay Buccaneer Rashad Perriman, the list of ex-Ravens-turned-Jet continues to grow as they ink inside linebacker Patrick Onwuasu to a one-year deal. He had 61 tackles and 3 sacks last year. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thanks, Rob. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the race for a COVID-19 cure. Also in this week's issue, the outbreak's vast impact on business. Jim Ellis contributed to that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
This is something that affects every business and everything in business. And so when we thought about what could we do, we sort of divided up and decided we were going to look at some companies that were actually dealing with this, some industries that found themselves in a position where they couldn't stop and they have to go on with business as usual, even though this is not usual.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly here on Bloomberg Radio or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at YouTube.com. Search Bloomberg Global News. At 5:38 on Wall Street, it is time for the Tri-State Business Report. Now here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
An executive order by Governor Andrew Cuomo promised relief for New York businesses struggling to make loan payments because of the coronavirus pandemic. But there is a problem. While the order specifically says banking laws would be modified to grant forbearance to any person or business, there's no provision in the DFS rules for loans to companies. The Four Seasons Hotel in Manhattan will provide free rooms to doctors, nurses, and other medical personnel. The luxury hotel, where rooms typically top $1,000 a night, closed on Friday, and they're not taking any new bookings through April 15th, according to its website. Dozens of cultural institutions in New York that have been forced to deal with the effects of the new coronavirus are discovering not only have they had to close their doors to paying visitors, an act that under normal circumstances would dent their already fragile finances, now they have to cancel their spring fundraisers. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Amazon closes a Kentucky warehouse with coronavirus cases.
I'm Tom Busby, and on WTIC in Hartford, I'll be reporting on UConn's board voting to reimburse students at UConn and four state universities for part of their housing and dining costs for this semester.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the plan from the UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak to extend income support for 5 million or so self-employed Britons.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about bankrupt grocer Fairway selling some stores to Amazon and an operator of ShopRite supermarkets.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting S&P has cut Ford's credit rating to junk status.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And as coronavirus continues to rock the car industry, this red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Moody's has cut the credit ratings for Toyota, Honda, and Nissan. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are retreating with U.S. stock index futures and most Asian shares as investors look past stimulus packages to the mounting human impact of the coronavirus outbreak. Government bonds and the yen are advancing, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 35 points. Dow futures down 215. NASDAQ futures down 97. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. 10-year Treasury up 20, 30 seconds. Yield 0.80%. Yield on the 2-year 0.29%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.5% or 62 cents at $23.88 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $7.30 at $16.27 an ounce. The euro, 1.0942 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1884. And the yen is at 110.04. The VIX at 65.30. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Senate has passed an unparalleled $2.2 trillion economic rescue package, steering aid to businesses, workers, and healthcare systems engulfed by the coronavirus pandemic. The 880-page measure is the largest economic relief bill in U.S. history. It caps days of difficult negotiations. The package is intended as relief for an economy spiraling into recession or worse, and a nation facing a grim toll from an infection that has killed nearly more than 21,000 people worldwide. In New York City, it's a grim sign the pandemic is far from over. Teams have set up a makeshift morgue outside of Bellevue Hospital, something they did during 9/11 and Hurricane Sandy. At one hospital alone, 13 people died in just 24 hours. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Interactive Brokers Studios.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. With a coronavirus outbreak in Europe now ramping up in Spain, that country has added 40,000 cases in just a week, with a death toll now surpassing that of China. Only Italy, which we visited yesterday at this time, has suffered more fatalities. Joining us now with more is our Bloomberg Madrid bureau chief, Ben Sills. Ben, thanks for being with us. Is it accurate to say the virus is out of control in Spain?
Yeah, I think it probably is. Spain has definitely hit the steep part of the curve. The number of cases is increasing dramatically every day. The number of people dying is increasing dramatically every day. Yesterday, there were 700 deaths reported. We're just waiting for today's grim numbers in the next half hour or so. And, you know, all the indications are it could be even worse. It's difficult to get your head around, to be honest, the number of people that are actually just dying out there.
As far as the hospitals, is it over capacity at this point, that curve past the point of essentially no return in terms of taking care of people?
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason so many people are dying is because they don't have intensive care beds, they don't have ventilators, they don't have oxygen. If lots of these people were arriving in hospitals in normal times, they would get the care they need and they would probably be okay. Because so many of them are arriving all at the same time, the hospitals are completely and utterly overwhelmed. We spoke to a doctor at one of Madrid's main hospitals yesterday, and he said that they're treating people in the waiting rooms, they're treating people in the emergency rooms, they are converting waiting rooms into wards, they're converting the main reception hall into wards, they're building a new hospital from scratch on the outskirts of Madrid in a convention center. They're doing everything they can to find more space, to put more capacity into the situation, and that's just about keeping the situation under control, but you know, it's pretty desperate.
How did it get this to this point?
It's a good question. I mean, I think that this is just as we've seen in China, as we've seen in Italy. This is an extremely contagious virus. Various features. I think the fact that people can be carriers without having symptoms helps to both accelerate the spread and make it difficult for governments to track it. We've seen in Spain that the actual increase in the number of deaths has been faster than either Italy or China. So that, you know, there are questions as to why it's been so swift here. But certainly, I think that Spain just shows quite how contagious this virus is.
Are the demographics so different there? Is it an older population?
It is an old population, but so is Italy. One of the places where the spread has been particularly deadly is in the residential homes for old people in Madrid. I think that they weren't really prepared for the sorts of contagion measures that were required, and there's been some horrible stories of what the military have found. They've been sending the military in to disinfect these facilities, and they found people abandoned in their beds, they found people dead in their beds, they found really, really kind of horrific scenes.
Now, has the government even come to terms with the scale and the speed of the response that is required? Now, I heard a story that, it was over a week ago that government ministers were among thousands of people who filled the streets to mark International Women's Day, I think it was.
Yeah, no, you're right. So that was March the 8th. That was clearly like the big mistake that the government made at the beginning of this process. That was a really big political event. It's a progressive government here. They have a 50-50 gender split in the government. You know, gender equality is a massive issue for them, and they didn't want to let what was at that point a small number of cases distract from what was a really big and important political event from then. Obviously, yeah. Now lots of the ministers who were there have now tested positive.
I think everyone accepts it was a mistake. And since then, they've really, I mean, they have really got on it.
Okay.
And the restriction measures have been really, really severe since then.
Cautionary tale there, perhaps, for the rest of us. Ben Sills joining us from Madrid this morning. Stay safe. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Karen, back to you.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A star football player is suing Amazon. Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens charges the online merchant with allowing the sale of unlicensed clothing using his image, slogans, or likeness. The coronavirus relief package passed by Congress will waive excise taxes on non-denatured alcohol. This will make it less expensive for spirits makers to produce hand sanitizer. Planned Parenthood and other organizations are suing in Texas over the classification of abortion services as non-essential in the state's response to the coronavirus.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. The coronavirus creating a potential legal minefield for employers wanting to use technology to keep tabs on employees working from home. For more on the issue, June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg Law reporter Chris Opfer.
Chris, first of all, do employees have any expectation of privacy when they're using company-owned equipment?
Short answer is yes, but it's limited. So, by and large, companies have the right to monitor what their workers are doing on company property, whether that's a laptop, a cell phone, or some other device. Where it gets a little tricky is during break hours, your lunch break, or something like that. If a worker gets on Facebook to check messages, uses Gmail, maybe logs into a personal banking account or something like that, there are some restrictions on what employers can monitor. And particularly, there are some restrictions on what sort of data they could pull and take a look at if they were so inclined.
So what are the restrictions? Suppose I'm working at home and I go to check my bank account, and then the employer teleports in. I don't know what the right word is.
So it may be helpful to understand what employers are doing here. The technology that's out there really runs the gamut from some very basic things that are meant to monitor activity, how much time workers are spending on various work-related apps, how much time they're dedicating to various tasks, and how efficient they're operating. And so in those cases, I think you have a pretty strong argument that while it may be helpful for an employer to know that one of their workers is spending 3 hours a day on Facebook rather than doing their jobs, it wouldn't be helpful for them to have a screenshot of the person's financial transactions. What we've heard from attorneys who work in this space is that if you get into a situation where you've inadvertently picked up some of that information, the best thing to do is to get rid of the information. And where you're going to run into trouble is if you try to actually use that information in some way.
And that's Bloomberg Law reporter Chris Opfer speaking with June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures lower this morning. S&P futures down 40 points. Dow futures down 233. NASDAQ futures down 107. And 10-year treasuries up 19/32nds, yield 0.80%. The yield on the two-year is at 0.29%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.